Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your yarn encircled the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. So we go across the country and you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text a brother 045-714-0550. And otherwise, check us out on Facebook page as well. That's BBM 98.7 FM. We're going across the nation, you mob. Yarnum with the ball, you're on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and taking it right through 12 noon Queensland time. Now, we are living in uncharted waters, as I spoke of before, and it is the high topic about what's happening on planet Earth and where we're travelling. And it's about doing what you need to do to keep yourself healthy. Wash your hands constantly, 1.5 metres away from each other, cough into your sleeves or your arms. And if you cough into a tissue, then discard the tissue. So there it is, you mob. Have your say. But look, it's great. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Professor Stephen Turner, who's a virologist and immunologist, and got him on the line now. Professor Stephen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, as I mentioned, living in uncharted waters, so you, with your professional hat on, where were we at? Light at the end of the tunnel, what's happening, and how can we can keep safe, my friend?
Yeah, well, as you say, we're unprecedented times. So what we're seeing over the last few weeks has been a significant increase in the transmission of the coronavirus. And at this stage, what we're seeing in Australia is a doubling of cases every 3 days or so. Now, the reason that that's a concern is that that's the rate of spread that we've seen in other places, like in Spain, in Germany, in France, where there are sort of a few weeks ahead of us in terms of the number of cases. So the sort of protocols or the strategies that the government has put in place in terms of social distancing, they're very important.
Very important.
Very important to slow the spread. So I guess one thing to note is that you're not going to necessarily stop the spread of the virus, but what it does is slow it down. Mm-hmm. And the slowing down is important because that means that the health services in each of the states will not be overwhelmed by people who will need care if and when they get infected.
All right, so is it... whose job to find the vaccine is the people in your department in that area and as virologists and immunologists?
So there is a vaccine. So there's actually a group at the University of Queensland. They jumped onto this very early, mm-hmm. and they're a fantastic group. So they've got some trials. So they've managed to make a sort of a prototype of a vaccine, and that's getting tested down here in Victoria at the Animal Health Laboratories in Geelong, where they're able to actually test whether the vaccine works. And there's groups in other places in the world. So
yes.
Some groups in the United States that have a vaccine that they're now putting into what we call phase one clinical trials. So that's mm-hmm. where they actually inject it into people and see whether or not it...
And what's the turnaround on that, Professor, regarding thumbs up, we've got the vaccine as such?
Yeah, no, I reckon... So, look, these things do take time because you have to make sure that, firstly, it works and, firstly, it's safe. Best case scenario to be at least 12 to 18 months before a vaccine is actually able to be distributed to people and given to people.
So, at the moment, the world we live in is the world we're going to be living in for the next 12 months in that sense?
Well, at least in terms of having a vaccine, in terms of strict quarantine or the strict isolation rules, I would say we're going to experience those for maybe 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we'll start to see that slowdown in the spread. So once the virus slows down in terms of its ability to transmit, that's when life can start to, return to normal, at least in some parts, and some similar to what we're used to.
And as a virologist, immunologist, do we find out, do you research, or do you find out, do you know how it all started?
There's lots of people that have been looking into this. So what we can do is actually look at the genome, the nucleic material that makes up the genes of the virus. And you can trace it. So as the virus emerges, you can isolate it. And we can look at the genes. And it looks like it obviously came out of China. But its relatives, I guess, or its predecessors were found in bats. So what we've got here, a virus that has what we call jumped species. And this happens quite a bit. So swine flu is an example that came out in 2009.
So when you say jump species, jumps onto other human or animals?
From one animal into humans.
Okay.
So it obviously picked up the capacity to infect humans, and then it picked up the capacity to transmit, and very effectively. So that's where it stems from, but it's not like it's unusual. Like, we've seen examples of this in the 2009 flu pandemic. Was an example where the flu virus actually came from pigs and got into humans and then went from there.
So we're not into pointing fingers or blaming, but so it did stem from the Wuhan, is it? The markets, is that correct?
Yeah, so really this is, it's interesting because it's really about density and where you get mixing of animals with people, and these open air markets are obviously a place where that can happen quite easily. It happened in Mexico with the swine flu. So it's just that, at that point in time, the virus was able to make that jump. And it wasn't like anyone was eating bats or anything. It wasn't that. The bats excrete the virus, and then the guano gets into the food chain. It might be aerosol, it might be in the air, and it's picked up by someone, and it just goes from there.
Sure. So could we say that the Chinese government is at fault here?
No, definitely not.
Sure,
no,
okay. No. So it's just the health measures in regard to, the markets, open-air markets, cutting up of animals and what have you. We're talking blood tissues and what have you. And then you said the so-called virus floating in the air and latched on a human.
Yep, that's right. And, in terms of, it's not even clear that it was that necessarily. It might have transmitted through another species on the way to the market. We don't know that for sure yet.
Okay. Professor Stephen, bringing it back here to here we are today, 21st century, March. So we just still need to do as what the government has stated, isolated, 1.5 metres away, washing hands constantly, coughing into your arms or your sleeves.
I mean, that is basically practising hygiene like that. So whenever you go out, if you have to go out, make sure that when you come home you wash your hands with soap, 20 seconds. That is the best way to limit transmission. So this virus is actually interesting. It really is transmitted through contact, it seems.
Okay.
So whenever you've got someone who sneezes and that, the droplets fall onto a table or they fall onto a doorknob or onto a bench.
Okay, there you go. Pick it up that way.
Pick it up that way. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So the million-dollar question, Professor Stephen, what's with all the toilet paper? Please explain.
I have no idea.
As a virologist, an immunologist, you couldn't answer that million-dollar question. What's with the toilet paper?
No, I think that is just... there's an interesting psychology there. I think it's, there is this kind of phenomenon where people panic and they just go for what they think is the most important thing, and apparently that's toilet paper. I would have been going for the paracetamol.
Okay, there you go. Okay, well, yeah.
The Panadol.
Heard it from a virologist, immunologist, go for the Panadol. The other thing is... I'm thinking, with all the toilet paper, I'm starting to think, does this virus give you the runs, diarrhea? But then I'm thinking, if you've got your whole basket, your whole trolley wrapped up with toilet paper, you need food to to pass, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, so I don't know where that came from. But this is definitely a respiratory virus. It's got got nothing to do with your gastrointestinal tract.
Thank you very much. All right, heard it first. All the best to you. Thank you very much for sharing, Professor Stephen. All the best. You take care, you and your family.
Yeah, you too, Trevor. Wash your hands.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there with Professor Stephen Turner, virologist and immunologist. And so there it is. You heard it straight from a professional. Slow down with the toilet paper. It's a respiratory virus. So it's got nothing to do with your internal down below. You know what I'm saying? So slow down the toilet paper so Murray can get some toilet paper, you mob. Have your say. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550. And otherwise, you can check us out on Facebook as well, BBM 98.7 FM. But still remains, you need to wash your hands constantly, cough into your sleeves or your arm, 1.5 metres away from other people. And look, if you can, stay at home. Don't need to leave if you don't need to leave. And look at us for some entertainment for your children. You're picking any? We've got school holidays coming up very soon here in Queensland. So especially teenagers want to get out and about, catch up with mob, you know. No, need to slow down a bit. Have your say. 1-800-422-416.
My people, Aboriginal people, don't forget what we're fighting for. We Aboriginal people,
My name's Raven and you're listening to Talk Black on BBM 98.7 FM.
Yeah, very good morning, mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre Gibbons call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Going to jump into it, have a chat to Natalie Armat. With what's happening in the, well, just a couple of months ago, all we could talk about were bushfires, but what we witness over and over again, and the power of the strength and neighbours and communities, and how they literally came to the rescue. So it is about Neighbour Day, 2020 on the line. Natalie, good morning. How are you?
Morning. How are you?
Very good. Before we start, just let the mob know who your mob. Where you from?
All right, well, I'm Natalie Armat. You might know me from NITV News. I'm all by the mob from Waitsill up there in the beautiful Northern Territory.
Yes.
And also from Mobioc Island in the deadly Torres Straits up there. So, yeah, that's who I am. And I'm also really proud to be a Neighbour Day ambassador. Which
fantastic.
Is this coming Sunday.
Okay, now I understand, yeah, you are the Neighbour Day ambassador. Why did you take this role up?
Well, look, when I was first contacted, it goes back a couple of years now, when I learnt a little bit about what Neighbour Day is all about, it's essentially about connecting with your community and celebrating, the places that we live and that feeling of belonging that community gives us.
Mm.
And I think as a First Nations person, that's something that really resonated with me, because
sure.
I think for our mob, like, community is kind of central to our identity.
Exactly.
and who we are. It's the first thing we ask is,
you
ask me then, who's your mob, where you're from?
That's right. So that's neighbourly art question, isn't it?
Really well, yeah. So that was, that sort of lined up with my values as a First Nations person. And also, I'm not sure how much you know about Neighbour Day, but it actually kind of came about out of a tragedy when a elderly woman passed away in her suburban home, and it was actually 2 years before anyone discovered her remains. So it's a really sad story, it moved a lot of people, and thus they established this check-in on your neighbour.
So that gave birth to Neighbour Day.
That gave birth to Neighbour Day, but I, as a First Nations person, and I'm sure it's the same for you and many of the listeners, is like, we grow up really to value and, cherish our elders, and, you call everyone auntie and uncle out of respect, regardless of whether you're related or not. So that story really moved me, as it moved many Australians, that this, poor lady had, just been forgotten about.
Exactly.
And as someone who grew up to treat every elder like they were my own nana, I sort of thought, I want to be a part of this, be a Neighbour Day ambassador, and help, encourage people. Not that anyone in our Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander community needs too much encouragement to look out for
exactly.
the elders, but it's a good message for our wider Australian community.
Exactly. What do you think crises sometimes bring out the best in people in our neighbourhoods as such?
Yeah, look, and haven't we had a few crises in 2020? It's been, certainly with my journalist cap on, I've just, never had to report as intensely on some of the crises, first with the bushfires, as you mentioned, and now with coronavirus. But I think overall, in terms of, people coming together, I think it's kind of, the Australian way. We're, really strong on mateship and helping each other out in times of crisis, big or small. So I think, that's just part of being Australian, and certainly, in our Indigenous communities too, that's just, you don't even think twice,
exactly.
At dinner time, you feed whoever's in your house, everyone sits down and has a meal. I think that's sort of something that we just naturally do as humankind anyway. And I think certainly in what we're dealing with now with COVID-19, it's the fact that this is something that affects every one of us. Like,
sure.
No one is exempt from it. COVID doesn't discriminate. So I think there's really a sense of us at the moment of all being in this together and, drawing strength from one another, and ultimately I think it is that strength and sense of community that's really going to help us through these next couple of months, because they're going to be pretty tough.
How can we all support each other through this, especially where communities having lockdown?
Yeah, look, it's going to be more of a challenge for especially if we are all sort of restricted to our houses
exactly.
to connect with each other. But I think essentially it all boils down to just sort of being kind and looking out for each other and being there for each other. So certainly support we can offer if we are still fit and healthy and are not showing any signs of sickness, that you may be able to sort of offer your support in practical ways, like offering to pick up some extra groceries for someone who's in isolation, or if you've got a few extra rolls of toilet paper, we know that's in pretty short supply, so
sure.
maybe, you know, giving that to a neighbour. But ultimately, you know, it's just really small things that can
yeah.
make really
and we've got social media, especially with our elderly people
Absolutely.
Who, a lot of them may not be on social media, so it's probably just communication from the gate, so to speak, or, you know,
yeah.
You know, from the balcony or whatever case may be, you know.
That's it. Neighbour Day has produced these great calling cards, or you could even make your own personalised ones and just, you know, just saying, hi, I'm Natalie, I live next door, or I live in, you know, number 7 or whatever, here's my number. If you need anything or,
yes.
you know, if you, and it could be not even necessarily doing something like picking up someone's groceries or medicines. It
sure.
could just be as simple as saying, I'm here next door.
Here he is, have a chat.
On the phone. Yeah, because that looking after our mental health, not only our own, but that of the community is going to be so important as we go more and more, you know, into social isolation.
Yes.
And lockdown. So, yeah, just a simple, you know, smile and a wave if you know, passing someone from a safe distance, of course, or, yeah, just calling up someone on FaceTime or posting on social media to say, hey, how you doing?
Well, I think it's important this time and age with the virus that's upon us, you know, that the communication with our neighbours is very important, because then we're talking anxiety or loneliness or, you know, or fear, so to speak. So that just that communication of, hey, how are you travelling? Do you need anything? I'll sit underneath the tree while you sit there on the balcony. Let's chat. Who's your mob?
Yeah.
Whatever. You just talk. Just that's neighbour, what neighbours do is what you're saying.
That's right, absolutely. And so, you know, I think it's a behaviour that I'd obviously encourage year-round and, you know, even once this coronavirus sort of passes, you know, it's wonderful just to have that sense of you know, belonging to a place and knowing the names of the people next door. So, but obviously, yeah, I think it's times like this that it's never been more important to know your neighbours. And look, I even had a little situation yesterday afternoon. I'm trying to work from home, as I know many people
yep.
are, as much as possible, just to be safe. Anyway, I had a situation. I don't know if everyone else in the neighbourhood also was trying to connect, but my internet coverage suddenly went to zero, so I couldn't email, I couldn't call, and just for, it only lasted a very short time. But in that moment,
stress,
being
big
very aware
panic.
Of if
yes.
I, what if I have to go into social isolation? That's
yeah, sure.
hard to
take. Exactly. Yeah,
and hard to do.
And lady of your caliber, you're going to be talking to people.
That's it. But and I just panicked for a few moments before
yes.
I calmed down and realised that okay, this patchy coverage would pass. But in situations like that, you know, I know that I can go and knock on the next door's
you know your neighbors.
Door, and that Chris and Jane are there, and
yes.
that if anything happened, and provided we were all healthy, of course, but even if
yeah.
I wasn't, I'm sure I could knock on the door
and stand back
2 metres
whatever.
And just say,
have
hey,
the conversation.
I'm feeling a bit anxious.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
For this reason. So
yeah.
that's really
So this
important.
Is probably another message
amazing.
As well to
yeah.
people out there is if you're in the stressful situation, then you go to the neighbour. Don't wait for them
yeah.
to come to you, so to speak, as well. It's a two-way street, isn't it?
It is. It is. So at times like this, you know, I think it's, you know, there are often, and we talk about it all the time, sometimes it can be really hard to ask for help. But, you know, at times like this, we're all in it together. We're all feeling a bit scared and anxious. So I don't think anyone's going to judge you if you kind of reach out.
Exactly.
For help, but I think it's also really important to be mindful of everyone. And when we talk about neighbours now, I think the definition of that has really extended. We're not literally talking about just the people next door or on your street. We're talking about online communities and our extended family and friends who, you know, are part of that community. So, yeah, if you don't feel, you know, okay, I don't feel like I know my neighbours well enough to, you know, go and unload on them,
so very important, Neighbour Day. So very, very important and fantastic gesture and fantastic movement. So you're the ambassador. You still wear the hat with NITV?
I do, yeah. So I'm the Neighbour Day ambassador. That's something that came about through my role at NITV. So that's my main gig at NITV, but really proud to sort of advocate and spread the Neighbour Day message.
Beautiful, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for sharing, my sister. Listen, you take care of yourself and you and your family. And thank you very much. And we'll spread the good word about Neighbour Day 2020. Thank you very much, sister.
Thanks for your time.
All the best to you. You take care, Nat.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Deleon there with Natalie Armat, and she's the ambassador for Neighbour Day 2020. And it's just about looking out for your neighbours because we're living in the environment that we're living in at the moment regarding the virus, coronavirus and COVID-19. It's about 1.5 metres. Stay at home and stay in your community, stay in your village, so to speak. Well, you can still chat with your neighbour from the fence or what have you. Just check on your neighbours, make sure everyone's okay, you know. And I think it's a fantastic movement. And we Murrays, that's what we do, First Nation people. We look out for each other, so very, very important. But stay tuned, your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the Bully Run, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, and taking it right through to 12 noon midday here on your daily program, National Talk Black, to Delhi.
Fir main yakan ni tu thinking and me nyal ulain. It's not about fame, kicking goals, opening doors to a new era, making sure it's correct, not an error, otherwise you will disconnect. And the darkest days won't last forever, even brighter days come sooner or later. Yakan win, thinking marchi babu urna, really need.
That's In Control with Baker Boy here on your daily program, National Talk Black. In control of all the daily yarns coming your way, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up now with a yarn with Bernice Kelly. My sister, good morning.
Good morning, Trev. How are you?
I'm well. Now, you are... Yes, talk to me.
I just wanted to bring up about the stolen wages. You know about the stolen wages and how they're awarded, I would think it was $190 million.
Yes.
And that was, I think, January of this year.
That's right, yep.
And then I think they passed it on to an accountant, ching, more money going, to an accountant, and they were going to work out how much money each claimant should get. Now, since the original claim, there was, I think, 11,000 claimants.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've added another 4,000 people to this list after the
closing date.
You know, you might say that the doors were closed for
closing
making
date.
Claims.
Yep.
Right? And I've just looked, a friend just rang me up about this and she's probably too ashamed to ring up. But anyway, she turned around and said she got a letter from them and they said it's going to be September of this year before they send out a letter to say how much these people are going to get.
Well, when does the money come after that?
The average claimant's about 90, you know that.
Exactly. So they're hoping that the claimant passes on so there's no money to be passed out, is what you're thinking.
It just makes me want to vomit.
Yes.
The way this government
drags
operates
it on, drags
when it
on.
Comes to Aboriginal people. Remember I said to you the stolen generation of kids from England? And Theresa May, she made a commitment, and they made a payout. They had a list there that they went to, and they sent them all a cheque for $36,000 or pounds, right? Now, there was none of this going to court, going to another bloody lawyer who's going to work out who gets what. You know, this all costs money.
Of course it does.
And then on top of it, that $190 million is sitting in someone's bank account making interest.
That's right, exactly.
Now, how much interest are they making and who gets the interest?
Yes, that's the other question. Yep.
This is just another, I'm going to say it, in due card.
In due card, there it is.
Unnecessary administration by preferred providers, and they're the ones who are making money out of this. I reckon by the time they get around to dishing this money out, they'll be lucky to get $2.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. You there, Bernice? No, I lost Bernice. Bernice Kelly there having a say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation, you might 1-800-422-416. Maybe you want to talk about the Indue card that a strong advocate that Bernice Kelly is in regard to against the Indue card and thinks it's all a scam. But she's there talking about the stolen generation and the stolen wages. So that conversation, I've got it back online now. You there, Bernice?
Yeah.
They're listening to you. They're listening to you. Too deadly.
But listen, an update on that Indue card.
Yes.
The president of the National Party has now stepped down. He's no longer the chair. But he's got two companies that service the Indue card. One is a electronic digital corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the other one does.
Well, I suppose you need a platform as such to hand out the money, so to speak. But you're saying it's privatised, an opportunity.
Privatized, yep, yep. It's corporatised.
Yep, all the above is what you're saying. That's your argument.
This came from Tiggy Forrester. You know, he was the one that influenced Tony Abbott to do this. But look, there's plenty of reports out there that show you that this is actually, they took $4.5 billion from robo-debt and this money was moved sideways to pay this Indue card. So the money that they've taken off people, welfare recipients, you can't argue, have been used to pay a corporation to do a useless administration. Look, it just adds to the welfare bill. That's all it does. You know, you waddle all these people who were lined up at Centrelink and who've had jobs.
They said they don't get the money until about April.
They won't be getting their money till April. But a lady was sitting, I'm on a blog with this woman, she was sitting in the Senate, and they passed it that all these people who go onto this, job seekers, will more than likely go on
New
the
start.
New card.
Yes.
You know, and look, you know, they should give that $12,000 in administration fees. If they gave it to every worker who lost their job, can you imagine how much stress that takes away?
Exactly. And money goes back to the tax office anyway.
The money will go back into the community. But if
yeah, but it goes back and we're getting spending.
It doesn't get spent, Trev. And, you know, I'm just astounded by the deafening silence on this. And even our ABC doesn't even talk about it.
Yeah. Well, Bernice Kelly is. And thank you. That just sheds light on the conversations.
BBK.
My sister, I'll keep rolling.
No,
thank you for your yarn.
I'm just concerned about our community, you know.
Exactly.
You know, they can handle this a lot differently and they're not.
Yeah, exactly.
And all they're doing is funding the corporations.
Profiteering for the corporations.
And taking our money, taxpayers' money, you're a taxpayer, taking your taxpayers' money to pay for a corporation that probably hasn't paid a cent in taxes.
There you go, my sister. Thank you very much, sis.
Okay, good day.
Bye-bye.
A nice day.
Bernice Kelly having a say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember
the day. Yeah, very good morning, you mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Love to hear what you mob going to say. Check us out on Facebook as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, going to catch up now with a beautiful lady by the name of Marianne Ma, and she's the View National Manager, View as in View Club, and we got her on the line. A very good morning. How are you, Marianne?
Oh, good morning, Trevor. I'm fine, thanks.
Thank you. And where are you based, Marianne?
I'm based in Sydney, but at the moment I'm actually in Adelaide.
All right, fantastic. Now, look, members from View Clubs throughout Brisbane and surrounding suburbs will come together on 11 March on celebrating the 60th anniversary of its founding. It's a morning tea hosted by the Governor of Queensland and the Government House. So, first of all, what is View Club?
Well, Trevor, View Clubs were formed in the 1960s as a service to women in the community by the Smith family, by the General Secretary of the Smith family, George Forbes. And the idea was that women could come together and in friendship and connect with one another and also support the charitable works of the Smith family. And today, they're 60 years of age, so we 60 years, strength and support is our tagline this year.
Fantastic. And when you look at VUE for our deadly listeners out there, the acronym VUE stands for Voice, Interest and Education of Women.
Yes, that's correct. That's absolutely correct. We are a women's club. Our members love connecting with women in community. And it's not that we have anything against men, of course.
No.
Men have their own clubs.
We do.
Sheds and all sorts of things. This is about women connecting and networking and coming together and having fun, and supporting the works of the Smith family.
And look, time is everything in life. We just finished celebrating 8th March, the International Women's Day, and look, a fantastic space. And to all our beautiful women out there, my slogan is "Girls can do anything." And I'm a great supporter and advocate of women. We need more women leaders in all aspects. I mean, CEOs, managers, business owners and all the above. And you being a national manager, that's what I'm talking about, sister.
Yes, we do. The View Club support, and as I was saying, exclusively support the work of the Smith family. And the Smith family is one of the largest education charities in Australia. And we're about breaking the cycle of poverty for all children because it impacts children in their lives in many, many ways. And keeping children in schools longer and helping them fit in results in better life outcomes for children. We support in total 56,000 children on the Smith Family's Learning for Life program, and over 20% of that, that's 10,000 people, are or students, are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students.
Yes.
So we're really proud of that as well.
And if not this state, if not this country, then we're talking the globe. The children are our future, are they not, Marianne?
Oh, that's absolutely correct. And we're about Australian children and supporting Australian children and their futures and the life outcomes for them. Yeah.
Fantastic. So you as a national manager, how long have you been in that seat?
I've been in this seat for 10 years now.
Good.
A long time.
Good.
But I absolutely love it. I love working with women, women volunteers. Of course, VUE members raise a significant fund for the Smith family, over $1 million every year.
Yes.
We also volunteer on the Smith family programs. We raise awareness, like we are today, with others in the community about supporting the children and our future education. And we actually support Students on the Learning for Life program, being the largest community sponsor of the Learning for Life program. So, it's great. But, as I said, the women like to come together and have some fun as well. And
exactly.
Whether that's through events or activities in their communities, it's about raising awareness and having a good time as well.
Yeah, but raising awareness, but having a good time. But it's a productive space, you know what I mean? And outside the fun, when the fun is over, you've got a beautiful vehicle driving forward and helping our children, yes?
Absolutely. And there's something about that, Trevor. Women in particular, guys as well, like to be purpose-led in a way. So it's nice to come together and have fun, but also know that the work that you're doing is supporting others. We like to roll, Aussies like to roll up their sleeves and help others. So,
sure, exactly.
You really get that good feel about, I'm helping others. And it's great. Their volunteering is excellent. And the Smith family couldn't do the work that we do without the support of our volunteers.
It's a team effort, and the Smith family, of course, fantastic. And hats go off to the Smith family and the work that they do and the work they're doing in this space, of course, for our children. And the old slogan is, well, it takes a community to raise a child, does it not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the latest stats show that more than one in six children are living in poverty in Australia. Mm. And that, Trevor, is 1.2 million Australians and children, and young people experiencing poverty. So the more that we can help, the better we all are, really.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you look at those statistics, it's very sad. We're talking 2020, 21st century. We're talking a First Nation country, you know what I mean? Mm. And for our children to live in that poverty, and those amount of children, that is very sad figures.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's one of the things that we're about, is supporting, engaging others to support us, to support the Smith family and to help. And then, to join a VIEW Club. The more women we have in VIEW, the more support we can give, the more children we can help.
Exactly. So with VIEW Club, where's the head office?
It's in New South Wales and Sydney, but we're in 300 communities. There's 15,000 members of VIEW Clubs, 15,000 members of VIEW throughout Australia and in over 300 communities. So we're everywhere.
Good. That's fantastic. And the old phrase, if build it and they will come, and the women are stepping up.
That's right. And so we do encourage people to go onto our website, which is view.org.au, find a club near you and go along and join or go to an event or an activity. And also if people would like to support the Smith family, is to go to the Smith family website, which is thesmithfamily.com.au.
Sure. Well, I love your movement. I love the work that you're doing, and hand in hand with the Smith family. Thank you very much for the yarn there, Marianne, and good luck with it all, and keep doing what you're doing. And all our beautiful women out there, love and respect you. Girls can do anything.
Oh, thanks, Trevor. Appreciate that.
You take care. All the best to you, Marianne.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there with Marianne Ma, her name is. She's the VIEW National Manager, and VIEW, which is acronym for Voice, Interest and Education of Women. And it's one of Australia's leading women's volunteer organisations and doing a fantastic job, and work coincide hand in hand with the Smith family. For over the years, these women have volunteered more than 3 million hours of their time, raised over $40 million and currently sponsor over 1,400 students on the Smith family Learning for Life program. So look, a very important space. Love and respecting our children as well. They are our future, and we need to build strong children to build a strong future for this country, for this world, globe. There it is. But you mob, stay tuned to your daily program, National Talk Black, and Yarn Up Strong. Here is the baldy one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So don't touch that dial, too deadly.
get on your mob. It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, to Dilly, your man here is the Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live from their First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation, thanks to NERS, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. If you want to add to the conversation, please do so. We're going to catch up now with Greg on the line. Greg, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Trinity Trev.
Long time no hear, my brother. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm going to have to start beating the drum to get across. You're so busy.
Flat tack, my brother. How are you holding out in this uncharted waters, the world we live in at the moment?
Well, we got the blood of Jesus on us, so we're fully covered, you know. Like
you're safe, brother. You're safe. Hallelujah,
we're
brother.
Safe. And I want to give a quick shout-out to the medical staff at the Cairns Hospital.
Yes.
Michelle had a bit of a scare there. They said she had lung cancer. We went and got our last report from the doctor yesterday. Nothing.
Good. To Dilly, happy days. And look, I suppose that message goes across to all our doctors and nurses and medical staff across the country, across the globe. They're flat tacked and really under the pump, aren't they, in this trying times?
Yeah, and like we've got the COVID-19, but then people have still got, like what Michelle, you know, with lung cancer, and other people with all sorts of other different ailments, and they still have to deal with all that. You know, they're torrid times.
Yeah, it is torrid times, yes, very much so.
We just got to have faith in the Lord and just trust that he died for us to save us, and as it is in heaven, so it is on earth. He doesn't have it in heaven, neither do we.
And we need to do a bit, don't we, regarding the so-called rules and, you know, isolation and stay at home and wash your hands.
Absolutely, take your medications. And a big thing too, if we're going to protect our immune system, get into the vitamins. Lady Salendo said 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. Mm. You know, that apart from your B groups and all the others, if you're bolstering your body and drinking water and exercising, you've got to be protecting yourself somehow, don't you?
Yeah, and vitamins, we're talking about good stuff for your body. Of course it is, you know. You may rattle when you walk, but best to be safe.
Yeah, you know, they're all on the shelf there. Just go get them, honey. It costs you like $1 or $2 a day to have them to bolster yourself.
Exactly.
Makes
exactly.
Such a difference, you know. And I caught up with Uncle Robert.
Uncle Robert?
And Anastasia.
Okay. Oh yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Big shout out, family. Yes.
Yeah, we went in for a CT the other day, and she was sitting there, and we got talking, and I said, "Boom a bip," and she said, "Oh, Trendy Trev."
Oh, there you go, connection right away. That's true blood there, brother.
Annie Evelyn and, you know, like the whole crowd, you know, the family was there.
You're my man, brother. You're my man.
Awesome.
All right, brother, we'll talk soon. All the best, Greg. That's Greg there, Yarn Up Strong here in your daily program, National Talk Black. And you can add to the conversation. Call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. But you may have to do that tomorrow because Murray about to sign off here. But 24-7, text 045-714-0550. Otherwise, our Facebook page as well, BBM 98.7 FM. That's the Facebook page, so check it out, your mob. Coming to a close here, it's a one-hour program, 11 a.m. to 12 noon, Monday to Friday, a voice for our people, and yarning with everyone across the nation, and adding to the conversation, especially in this trying times, it is the Murray Road Fine. Before I go, I got another call. I got Michelle on the line from Perth. Michelle, good morning, sis.
How you going, brother boy?
I'm well, my sister. How are you travelling?
Yeah, look, I'm getting there.
Good.
Look, what I wanted to say is I heard on that there's a call for researchers to request Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander genes to be donated because they reckon that we have the one gene that's outlived all man-made viruses or all contaminated viruses in the entirety of the universe.
Yes.
And that's actually true because we've outlived smallpox, leprosy, chickenpox, everything. And I strongly believe that our gene, obviously, there has to be something there in our genes that say that we are immune to all these, viruses that are contaminating our universe.
Yes.
But the other thing is, you know, the way that the government have dictated the way that we, you know, should be conducting our customary activities, such a sorry business.
Mm.
Now, you know, our culture, we have family, our family extends to 300 or 400 people at least, just in the immediate family.
Exactly.
And to limit, we just lost a 27-year-old nephew suddenly on the weekend. And that family of his, you know, there's almost 200 immediate family members just alone.
Exactly.
Now, how does my poor sister girl make a choice about only having 10 people attend her son's funeral? Well,
exactly, the rules.
And, I, you know, I can't be one of those to attend those funerals because she showed her same respect to me by attending my son's funeral last year. But
exactly.
I can't repay the same respect.
Exactly.
You know, and it's sad. It is sad that this dictatorship is governing our culture.
Sure, yeah, no, you make a good point there, my sister. I've got to go to the news, my sister, but please stay strong, sis. That's Michelle calling from Perth there, and you, Mob Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We'll be yarning soon.
Meatloaf lover, there's nothing I want to. Except that scrap that nut as true. Far from thoughtful, as deep as a creek. Find me in the street, tan deep at the creek. Sneak in while you sleep, slide up in your sheets. And arrested in a second, cause you moved last week.
I wish, damn, I wish I was
looking ahead.
Oh shit, let me make a wish.
Citizen, role model for the children, poster boy for the innocent.
You know, I can do a lot of things if I had some money.
Bottom line,
I got a great idea for a movie.
Got them, Fear Goggles, Roy Orbison, on a par like an ornament. Next round, order them, last half avoiding them, last round I slaughtered them. Sitting on a stool like I busted an accordion. You're talking to this board like I'm charming us up. But what's really coming out is what's coming up. Thought I was eating the song, but I was eating the steak. And does the drink still count if it went in my face? Move on. Possibilities, walk across the bar to the best of my ability. Literally running to this thing from the Philippines. 19, filling up a beat, got you feeling me. Grabbing my arm, trying to walk to the dance floor. I'm like, nah, girl, go fuck up, you wanna dance floor. Fred Astaire, I'm not, you got your wires crossed. I'm at the bar when you're ready with a couple of shots.
I wish, damn, I wish I was
looking ahead.
Oh, shit, let me make a wish.
Citizen, role model for the children, poster boy for the innocent.
I really wish I was.
Bottom line, I wish I were that guy, were that tight, were that nice. But I wish you wouldn't whine all the time, then we'd be fine. But drunk enough to drive 50 cent style shots, yep, I took 9. Something seems to be wrong with my spine. Cause I'm calling, but I'm certain I could walk a straight line if I tried. So I stood up, yep, flat on my back. I wanna walk the line, but I'm no Johnny Cash. And if somebody asked it, I know where I am. Cause I left the bar man with a 500 cash. So long, son, catch me if you can. Maybe next week when I forget, I'll come back. But I fled the scene, and I jumped in a cab. And when this joint stops, I'm the gingerbread man. Usain Bolt. Careful up, we're spinning, and the car's backing up. I'm good for 10 minutes, no stamina. God damn, the poor lungs can't stand the gut.
I wish, damn, I wish I was
looking ahead.
Oh, shit, let me make a wish. Oh, shit, let me make a wish.
I would stand up citizen, role model for the children, poster boy for